coming up with a test strategy often seems complicated, but that's because we're often trying to write a document and not look foolish. The solution is to learn how to strategize and communicate what's important. And I'm going to try and cover tips for doing that. So welcome to the Evo Tester Show. My name's Alan Richardson, and I've created loads of test strategies and plans over the years. I used to get hung up on what is a strategy, what is a plan, what's the difference, what information goes into which document, etc., etc., etc. And I've learned that what people really care about is that they need to know that you've thought about the problem, you've thought it through, you understand the risks, you know what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and that you know how to execute on it. So when you learn how to strategize during that process, you'll create a model in your head that will allow you to communicate all of this to people and convince them that you know what you're doing because you do. And more importantly, you'll be able to execute on it. Strategy, approach, and plan can really be thought of as iterations of the same thing. I think of them as a strategy hierarchy. Strategy is a higher level. Approach is how we're going to do certain things. Plan is the steps we're going to take and the logistics. And plan leads on to execution. A strategy can lead on to execution, but you'll have done the planning during that move from strategy to execution. This isn't a formal big process. We must have done the strategy before we do the approach, before we do the plan. We're strategizing. And we're strategizing to the level that we need to do it in order to execute on it. And at the point that we start executing, that's where we see a difference between strategy and tactics. Tactics are the meaningful steps that we take in order to implement our overall strategy. And strategy is the decision-making framework, because we've decided on all the constraints and all the reasons why we're doing something. Strategy is the why, the essence that guides us during our decision-making process and the system that we want to create. It's what allows us to say no. No, I'm not doing that. That's not part of my strategy. That won't lead to the objectives that we want to achieve. Tactics are the short-term steps, the next steps that we take to move forward in a meaningful way. They support the strategy. Otherwise, they're just noise. If they don't support the strategy, they're just things that we did, but not things that advance us or move us towards our longer-term goal or towards the information that we want to try and get out to people or find, or the risk that we want to investigate. It's just stuff we did. Tactics are more associated with the execution of the plan, or possibly thought about in the planning themselves. A book that covers this fairly well is Seth Godin's This Is Strategy. It talks about the difference between strategy and tactics, and strategy being the set of concepts that allow you to make decisions. Now, sometimes when people are talking about test strategy, they're not really talking about test strategy or planning or strategizing. They're talking about a test strategy document. So when people ask, how'd you come up with your test strategy? If there's a template, that's a little bit pointless, because the answer often is, I just fill in the template. And this is where people get into an issue, because they don't want to write things that are stupid. The template might be asking for things that are irrelevant, so they end up writing lots of boilerplate. There are tactics for handling this. Basically, you fill in the template, you put in the minimum amount of information. But the real thing to bear in mind when you're creating one of these test strategy documents from a template is you want to avoid distracting people. You want the document to have the important information up front as much as possible. So very often if I'm working with a template, I'll try and see if I've got the flexibility to move things that are irrelevant to the back of the document, or write in very small amounts that says, see the high-level department strategy. We want to avoid contributing to the noise and information overload that people have, because what you're trying to do is communicate to them your model of what you're going to do and convince them that you know what you're doing. That's the whole point of one of these documents, I think. For a lot of companies, the whole point of one of these documents is to fill in one of these documents and have it reviewed and take up lots of busy time. But that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to contribute to that. We're going to add meaningful value into the organization by strategizing and figuring out how we're going to execute well. So I've seen lots of strategies over the years, and when I started out in testing, test strategies were documents, and they were basically there to guarantee the survival of the test team. We'd be working on waterfall projects. It'd be a long project, 6 months to a year. There was nothing for the test team to do at the start, so we created the strategies. We started to think about what we're going to do, and we'd write strategy documents, and then high-level strategy documents, and project strategy documents, approach documents, lower-level plans, lists of things we were going to cover, all the work up front to guarantee our survival, to show that we're adding value. There were teams of programmers, designers, business people, managers, analysts, and testers, and no one really knew what each other did, but weirdly, testers were the only ones that would come up with documents explaining what we were going to do. Programmers didn't come up with a programming strategy. Designers didn't come up with a designing strategy. We came up with test strategies. And it's fine so long as there's value in that thought process, but very often it was just busy work based on templates, filling them in. And I didn't think that was very good. So I started to use the strategy and plans to communicate my ideas about the testing that we were going to do, how we were thinking about it at that point in time. At the start, that would be a very high level because we don't really know what we're going to do or how we're going to do it. We don't know very much about the system. But over time, we'd get more information, more detail, and we'd change the strategy because we knew that performance test was important. I'd start adding in a plan because we start knowing the logistics. We'd be strategizing and planning. We'd be going through a process, and the output documents would reflect that process. It would reflect our thinking. Because we're trying to communicate, we're trying to get a shared view of our understanding, and we're trying to get information from people about, do they go along with that? Do they think that's appropriate? Are they prepared to pay for that? Will that get them the information they need? It's a shared model that we're trying to build through that communication process. And at the very least, if we don't get their understanding, at least we'll get their objections, and they'll know that their objections have been heard. Some people will only know, I want to make sure we have non-functional testing. So you think about what that might mean for that person, explain what is appropriate and what's not, and you put that in your strategy document. Then they are heard and they're in agreement that you understand what testing means and that it fits their model of what it means. You really want people to complain early. I don't think we should be doing that. Rather than later, why on earth did you do that? Partly, that's what these documents are for. It's not what the process of strategizing and planning is for. It's why companies use these documents to build a shared understanding, get objections aired, understood, and addressed before we start doing things. But because I wasn't happy with the templates we were using or the process, I started to read strategy books to figure out, what is this thing that we're actually supposed to be doing? What do the experts think strategy is? So I started to look at a lot of business strategy books. And the more business strategy books I read, the less I understood about strategy, because business strategy book covered everything to do with business. Small word strategy seemed to mean everything. Target market, business plan, raising money, schedules, leading, managing staff, marketing, everything. And when a small word means all of that, it doesn't really mean anything at all. So I wasn't really learning what strategy was. It's like being in a meeting and discussing lots of ideas and all the risks and approaches. And at the end of the meeting, the person in charge says, well, it sounds like we've got a plan. Well done, everybody. Let's go make this happen together. Let's get it done as a team. And then they leave. And I'm sitting there thinking, does it sound like we have a plan? What's the plan? I don't know what the plan is. To whom does this sound like we have a plan? But you look around and everyone's going, yes, 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 we have a plan. We'll get it done. And you think they're crazy, but inside they're thinking, plan? I don't know what the plan is. I better play the game, say yes, otherwise I won't get promoted. But saying plan doesn't make it happen. Saying strategy doesn't mean you've thought it through. Small words mean big things. Often don't mean anything at all. But if we had written down all the words that we'd said, all the ideas that we'd discussed, then we could summarize, we could ask questions. And if we want to, we could use that as a basis for coming up with a plan to decide what we're going to do next. Strategizing and planning is a process. there's an output that's often a strategy document or a plan document. But the real output is a model in our heads that lets us understand why we're doing something, what we're trying to achieve, and then we can use that to make decisions when we execute. So in order to simplify my thinking about this, I started to think, well, really, what I've got are categories of ideas. If I come up with lots of ideas and I'm thinking through the process, I just kind of need buckets to put them in. Test strategy might be the high level bucket where I put ideas about why we want to do things and who is the main stakeholder and what overall objectives we're trying to achieve. The test plan would be the planning ideas, the logistics, who's going to do it, when are they going to do it, what tools do we need, how much money is this going to cost. But the important thing there was the ideas and the need to categorize them in my head in some sort of model and the ability to communicate them at certain periods of time. So other categories that I found useful, which are often not covered in test strategy and test plan documentation, are beliefs. What do we believe is going to happen? What do we believe about the software that we're going to build? What do we believe about the requirements? What do we believe about the customer? What are our goals? What are the stated goals? To keep them in mind so that everyone agrees this is what we're trying to do and they can't say later on, oh no, we meant this. What models are we using for coverage to assess whether we've done what we said we were going to do? What are the logistics? Who's going to be involved? What time scales are we working with? What are the constraints? I mean, these categories help us organize ideas and stop forgetting them, but they also help us focus on what is important. So a difference between strategy and plan might be the level of the focus. A strategy might be high level, a plan might be lower level. But the key point is, it doesn't really matter, because what we want is to never lose sight of the ideas that make up these things, the ideas that we put into the strategy bucket or the plan bucket are what are important. We're trying to communicate those ideas, get agreement back on those ideas, or people objecting to those ideas. So another way of simplifying this process of strategizing is to think about the questions that we ask. And the questions that we ask are very simple. It's going to be what, who, why, where, when, how. And when I started thinking through from a what, where, why, who, how, when I started thinking through from a what, who, where, why, when, how process, I started to try and put them into the strategy bucket and the plan bucket. But that was hard. That didn't feel right. When you plan things, sometimes you're going to say why you're going to do something. Why isn't always just a strategy question. So rather than say some things are strategy questions and some things are approach or some things are planning questions, I viewed strategy, approach and plan as a strategy hierarchy, as a way of strategizing and coming up with a model of what we're going to do and why. And I ask those questions to flesh out the model of my overall strategy, which will include the approach and it will include the plan. And then it's just a matter of the answers that come through, putting them in a relevant document such that people can read them, understand them, and object to them. Sometimes test strategy or test approach or test plan is actually just the timing of the request. If we're asked to create a strategy, but the project is just about to enter its execution phase, chances are you're creating a plan because you're about to do something. And the plan will have strategy elements in it, but it'll probably be called a test plan. Because if you create a test strategy from it, you'll probably have to create a test approach and then a test plan. And really, you're so close to the end, you really need to get on with the work. So sometimes the templates and the process cause delays and cause us to think about the problem too slowly, inefficiently, ineffectively. Sometimes if it's so early in the project, we're going to create a strategy because we don't know who's going to do something or when. We don't know any logistics. We can't do any planning. So we call it a strategy because then that's the bucket, the acceptable bucket for communicating those ideas about what we're going to do. Sometimes it's just a timing thing as to which document you create. And sometimes people call the documents things that they're not. We want a mobile testing strategy. Well, it's not really a mobile testing strategy because you've decided you want to test on mobile. So it's an approach for testing because your strategy is to test on mobile. Now we want an approach for how we do that. So it's not really, you can argue about the definitions and details. Really, people just want to know, what are you thinking? How are you going to do this? What are the risks and issues? And that will be fleshed out in a template. So as well as looking at business strategy, I also looked at military strategy books, and it seemed like they tried to keep things way simpler than business. Their military strategy books were all about, what are your overall objectives and why do you need to do this? The plan was, how are you going to do this? But there was also the concept of, when you start doing something, if the plan isn't working, change the plan. Change what you're doing because you're trying to hit an objective. Yes, we knew, we said we're going to do this. Your choice is either retreat immediately, come up with a new plan, or change what you're doing and hit that objective. So depending on how the military organization partitioned out its responsibilities, if you had the ability to make decisions on the field, you made them to try and hit the objective. We're trying to keep things as simple as possible because if you overcomplicate it, people died. If you failed, you died. And if you're in the wrong organization and you go, well, this plan isn't working, let's retreat and come up with a new plan, then you abandoned the mission and you were court-martialed and shot and died. Fortunately, that doesn't really happen in testing. I've seen people have fist fights in the office, but I haven't seen anyone die. So we have more flexibility in how we approach strategizing and planning and the execution. Always bear that in mind. Sometimes it doesn't really matter what people say. If you're doing it, you're on the hook for it. So you better take responsibility for what's happening. So leadership versus management. At a high level, strategy is like leadership. Test plan is like management. I'm trying to explore this concept of test strategy approach and plan from different viewpoints to have different ways of exploring these models. So strategy is leadership, planning is management. Strategy, like a leadership role, sets the direction, the ultimate goal, the vision, and the motivation for reaching that goal. The plan, like management roles, is about steering the steps, figuring out the next step, assessing the risks, taking mitigating actions if things are not working, monitoring the controls, replanning when one route doesn't work, controlling and managing the resources to make the route possible, communicating upwards on progress. Approach is somewhere in between. It's kind of the agreement between the leadership and the management as to how they're going to operate in general terms. The Art of War is a book on leadership and strategy. It's an old Chinese book, and it has five constant factors on the first page: moral law, heaven, earth, commander, method, and discipline. Moral law is it's kind of like the leader's relationship to the people. It's basically the why, the alignment in goals and objectives between the different levels in the organization. Because if you're not on board with the overall objective and plan, it's going to fail. You need the moral law. And the moral law is, if we don't like what the leader is proposing, we won't do it. We're not going to go into war and die if we think that you're heading down completely the wrong direction and we don't share your views. You have to have the moral law there first. That Simon Sinek book, Start With Why, that's the similar concept, but it was there thousands of years ago in The Art of War with the moral law. Then we have other factors which are more related to the planning and how we will approach this. Heaven is the natural elements, like the weather or the seasons. And so we might simplify that to timing. Is this the right time to do this? Is this the right time to go to market? Is this the right time to do this project? Because we need help from that team over there and they're quite busy. It's things that we might not be able to control very much, but if we change the timing at which we do things, then it'll be a lot easier for us. That's very simple terms. Earth would be the geographical features. If you're at war, then you need to take account of the hills and things. If you're doing a project, you need to know what are our constraints, what are our logistics, how much money have we got, Have we got the right tools? Will these tools last long enough? Are we going to have machines that will last to the end of the project? Simple things like that. The commander and the method and discipline relate to the team and the project. Do we have someone who can lead this? Have they got the skills to review the code at a high level? Have we got the right designers in place? The method and discipline is, do we have the right controls in place for our development process? Do we have CI/CD? Do we have automated execution? Do we have the right tools? Are people trained? Are they able to do this? So those five constant factors are really important for the planning and approach to a project. But really, I think the moral law is the strategy element in there. So one of the key concepts that I'm trying to get across here is that we ignore the words strategy, approach, plan, test strategy, test approach, test plan, and we focus on the strategizing. So use the six questions. What, who, why, where, when, how. Ignore, is this a strategy? Is this a plan? Start focusing on, what are we trying to do? Who's going to do this? Why are we actually doing this? What are we trying to achieve? Who is this for? When do we have to deliver by? Those questions will help you think through the scope, the reasons, and the delivery approach. So when I'm strategizing or planning or figuring out how to approach a problem or activity, I'm using those question prefixes. I ask a lot of questions of myself and then follow on questions based on the answers, because some of the things I'm going to get through are going to be beliefs. And then I might have to go and ask questions on someone else to clarify whether my belief matches their belief. So if I know I'm going to do something, I'll ask myself questions to figure out, what am I going to do? Why am I doing it? How will I know that it's done? How long have I got? What happens if I fail? How much risk am I prepared to adopt? Etc, etc, etc. If I'm working on a small activity or I have an objective that I'm clear on and I want to do it quickly, I don't think I need to build a strategy or I need to build a plan. I think I need to think this through so that I can execute on it and make sure I'm doing the right things for the right reasons. This concept is really important when we're doing exploratory testing or working in small chunks on an agile project, working on a story, or testing, using sessions, test sessions. We're strategizing, planning, and executing in a very small time window. We don't have time to create a test strategy document, an approach document, a plan document, but we still make time to strategize and plan and think through the problem space so that we can execute on it effectively. And one other difference between strategy, approach, and plan is the flexibility that you have to interpret them. So I think they kind of stack in that order. A strategy can have multiple approaches, which can have multiple plans, but they all share similar attributes, like we have an objective, we know what we're trying to achieve. But unfortunately, this makes it really hard for me to answer hypothetical questions like, well, if you had to test an API, what would you test first? Because I'm thinking, why am I testing this? What is my objective? What information do you want? How fast do you need this information? What resources do I have at my disposal? There's a lot for me to unpack to give an answer to what seems like a very small question, because I haven't done the thinking. I haven't done the strategizing and planning. To be honest, if you can answer, if you had to test an API, what would you test first? You've already strategized, so that's fine in an interview situation where you come up with an answer. But in the real world, you have to think it through. You're strategizing. You might have the advantage that someone has created your company's API testing strategy. And in there, it may define, this is what we expect you to test first. But you still have a responsibility for doing that. So you have to think, is this really what I should be testing first? Or are there better ways of spending my resources and targeting the work? Just because a high-level strategy says you will do this first, or the high-level approach says these are the orders we will do it in, doesn't mean that when you execute, you do it in those orders, because you have to have thought it through to have reasons for that. And it's that strategizing process, the thinking through, that gives you the ability to say, no, I'm going to restructure this because at this point in time for this project, for this specific API, It's more important to do this first than what we agreed in the high-level test strategy. And one concept that's really important in all of this, and I've said the word a few times, is execution. It doesn't matter what your test strategy is, or your approach, or your plan is, if you don't execute. If all you've done is create a test strategy and a test plan, but you never actually execute on it because it never gets delivered, we just wasted a whole bunch of money and time. That doesn't matter. The strategizing and approach and planning may be important when we approach the execution. They probably will be, hopefully, if you've done the right strategizing and planning. But if it was done so early that everything changed, you're going to re-strategize and replan when you do the execution anyway. This is why exploratory testing was a really important concept to add into the software development approach. Because whatever our strategy, approach, or plan is, it all comes together when we execute and we give ourselves the ability to adapt before, after, and during that execution. That's part of the whole exploratory testing concept, that we've thought about things beforehand, but we will re-evaluate as we start working, when we are doing the work. After we have done the work, we will replan, rethink our strategy if necessary. Because we have learned stuff. We learn during the strategy. We learn from other people's objections and opinions. But the place we really learn is during the execution, because we're getting immediate feedback from our work with the system. All right, so to try and pull all this together, strategy, approach, and plan are abstractions around the concept of why are we doing something? Who is it for? What do we want the outcome to be for us and for other people? So I'm viewing that as a strategy hierarchy, because sometimes we'll do it in order, but it really doesn't matter. It's all part of the same strategizing and planning process. Ultimately, we use those concepts to say no. There are many things that we could do during execution, but some we won't do because they don't fit our strategy hierarchy. They don't fit the output from our strategizing and planning. Tools, techniques are tactical. Tactics, they help us take the meaningful next step to achieving the objectives that we've identified during our strategizing. Each of those steps, we want them to add meaning, to contribute to the whole, to contribute to what we're trying to achieve. Risk-based testing can work at an execution level as well as a strategy level. For the next step, what will give me the most information about the risk that I'm most concerned about now? Or which risk do I have least information on and I want to target that now? So the biggest thing I've learned is don't get hung up on the words strategy, approach, and plan. Certainly don't get hung up on the words test strategy, test approach, test plan. Don't get too hung up on the documents that we have to create, because the documents are a communication vehicle. Don't get hung up on the words. Focus on the process of strategizing, asking questions and building models, using what, why, where, when, how, who. If you've got a template to fill it in, but don't just fill it in with noise, fill it in with meaningful information that you want people to comment on. You want people to agree, or you want people to object to. You're trying to use them as a communication vehicle. Strategizing, planning, and execution, these are all thinking activities where decisions are made and we continue to iterate based on what we learn from that. It never ends. The strategizing and planning process never ends. We continue to iterate through this. Even when we're doing execution, we're still figuring out, are we on track? Why are we doing this? Is this really helping our ultimate objectives? Is this really the best next thing I can do? I used to get hung up on the words, but focusing on execution and knowing that my execution has a strategy basis, a strategy hierarchy that I've thought through so that I can justify the actions that I'm taking, helped me more than anything. So hopefully that's useful. Thanks for tuning in. The show notes will be at eviltester.com/show. I'm Alan Richardson. This was the Evil Tester Show. You can find out more information by visiting eviltester.com and subscribe to get notifications for future updates.